Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
She puts on my Tom Petty t-shirt.
All right, it's Dave Player on this July 4th Wednesday on 720 WGN. So most people would agree that there's nothing stronger than the bond between two brothers. And when that bond includes the common goal of making music, the results often offer reason for an audience to sit up and take notice. Like the Everly Brothers to Oasis and the Beach Boys to the Kinks, audiences have embraced the brother band, the Bacon Brothers. With 8 albums under their belt, including the newest release, Tom Petty's T-shirt, which you heard coming in, the Bacon Brothers are heading to Chicago for a concert at City Winery on Thursday, July 12th. And joining us to talk about it all is musician and actor Kevin Bacon, well known on the big screen for movies like Footloose, A Few Good Men, A River Gone Wild, Apollo 13th, and recently on the small screen in The Following, and singer-songwriter, musician, and film score composer Michael Bacon. Good morning to you guys.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
I am doing all right. You know, you guys have been working together on stage for just over 20 years, and as brothers, you know, people, brothers working together, siblings working together, spouses working together can be really tough. You guys haven't killed each other yet.
No, we're getting there, though. Any moment now.
Death. That's great. The chemistry on stage speaks for itself. I saw you guys at the Arcata in 2015, and I was blown away. I mean, fans know you, Kevin, for all your film work, Michael, in composing and all your work. So when you see two guys out of the comfort zone that, as a fan, that you're used to seeing them with, it could be pretty different. But I will tell you, it was very cool, Kev.
We like to go on the premise that most people coming to the show think we're going to be terrible. and when you start with that, it's part of our job to, you know, surprise people. And hopefully, if they haven't seen the show before, leave as, you know, fans of the music, and not just, you know, movies.
Yeah. Well, you guys grew up in Philly, and I know it wasn't just the two of you. You have four other sisters. Was music always an element in your life, or when did you find interest? I'll start with you, Michael.
Well, yeah, I can't remember a time where I wasn't interested in it, and we grew up in a household that valued the arts and creativity above everything else. Our parents had, my father designed the townhouse that we grew up in kind of a mid-century with an absolutely gorgeous sound system. And the music they listened to was really eclectic. It was Broadway shows and world music and the Weavers and folk and classical. And I was really soaked it all up at a very early age, and then our sisters became Bobby Soxer, and there's a lot of rock and roll and 45 RPM records and stuff like that all over the house. So it was all over the place.
Kevin, what about you? What was kind of the big moment for you that you wanted to have music as a part of your life?
Well, it's interesting, you know, you learn about things when you do interviews. I think probably because of the 9-year age difference between us, mm-hmm. the music that I was influenced by was not my parents' music as much as it was the music of my siblings.
That's cool.
Music that they were making and the music that they were bringing home. I have a vague kind of memory of show tunes and folk and classical, but it was really, really about, you know, Michael was already, and my sister were already in bands when I was a little kid, and they were playing in jug bands, and they were bringing home, you know, 45s of British Invasion, and Michael was a, you know, singer-songwriter, you know, later on, you know, composing, writing songs, and, you know, down the hall, and so that's the stuff that was the most influential on me.
Now, you mentioned, both of you mentioned that, you know, it was really in your household, you know, brought into your household, entertainment and music and so forth. Live theater was a big part of that. Was there some stage productions that you saw as a kid, Michael, that really influenced you and thought, yeah, this is pretty cool?
Well, one of the things that was kind of neat about our dad is he had this model theater, and it was from Copenhagen, and they were very, very elaborate sets, and he had these incredible amounts of lights and kind of special effects and stuff, and he would get the scripts for one of the shows, like, let's say, Little Mask Girl, and he'd assemble a bunch of people, and we'd record the soundtrack very casually in the living room, and it was really fun. I always loved doing that.
So you had this stuff in the house?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he had, in the basement, he had this whole model theater set up.
It was kind of like a little tiny mini theater with cardboard, like cut-out cardboard figures that you kind of...
That's cool.
Flipped them around, and it was his main hobby in his whole life.
He loved
that little theater.
Wow, very cool. When it comes to all the music, Kev, who does most of the writing?
We're pretty split on it, you know. Generally, if I'm doing the lead vocal, I wrote it. And if Mike's doing the lead vocal, he wrote it. It's pretty even
between the two. What's the process like to pull a song together? And I have to imagine, Michael, that, you know, composing music or instrumental music for a specific scene or a specific film or a TV show that you do in your daily life is probably, and I dare say this, less cumbersome than actually sitting down and writing the song because you're putting lyrics together and everything else.
Less cumbersome by about 10.
Is that right?
You're exactly right. Yeah, going back to our childhood, one of the things I was very lucky is that whatever our parents instilled in my brain musically, I think of it as a tap that I can turn off and on at will. So if I get to sit down in my studio, I can write music continually until I'm too tired. Whereas songwriting is, you know, Kevin and I talk about this all the time. What is it that puts you in the mood? What is where are you sitting? What kind of guitar do you have? What did you have for breakfast that makes all of a sudden a song appear and take enough and gather enough energy within you to push through and write, you know, all the verses and the choruses and the bridge and everything else. So, it's a much more torturous kind of process. And, you know, I really feel like if I write a couple of good songs a year, that's about all I really expect of myself. But we're still searching for that magic kind of situation that, you know, that elicits that kind of a response and pushing out a new song.
That makes me want to write a song called Breakfast Burrito.
maybe that's it, man. That's
for the new album, I'm thinking. Yeah, I like that. All artists have different approaches when it comes to performing on stage because it's, you know, there's obviously a big difference for being in a recording studio and doing it and getting it right so you can put it out there. But, you know, where do your heads go? Like when you have to perform, where do you go mentally, Kev?
I think that you've played this set before. Obviously, we don't switch it up every night. I mean, there's certain things that are a little different. Mm-hmm. So, in the same way that a play is the same script, there's an element of it that's like that in our show. The set order is usually pretty close to what we've done the night before, et cetera. But the difference is that it's never exactly the same because you're sharing it with this group of people for this night.
Right.
And the venue's going to be different. You know, you can break a string. You can, you know, have some feedback. You can, see somebody in the front row that seems to really, really know the music and that sort of, you know, is inspirational. There's all these factors that change night after night. So there's always that feeling to me, okay, I'm stepping out on stage and really anything can happen. And that's what keeps it sort of exciting. I mean, I also think that we have our job. We feel like our job is to try to put on a good show and get rid of whatever moods or issues that we may have had, you know, off mm-hmm. stage, and just get out there and do our thing and you know, play well, sing well, you know, find the grooves and give people their money's worth.
Very cool. We're talking to the Bacon brothers, Kevin Bacon and Michael Bacon, and there's more after a quick look at your morning traffic. State Player live from the Allstate Skyline Studios here on 720 WGN. We are talking to actor and musician Kevin Bacon and composer Michael Bacon. Their band is the Bacon Brothers, and they will be performing at the City Winery on Thursday, July 12th, right here in Chicago. The 6:30 show is already sold out, but the 9:30 show is still available. You can get tickets at citywinery.com. Okay, I had to bump back in with Footloose. You guys singing Footloose on stage. I can't help myself. You were a good sport and did the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon a few years back, and you were choreographed in this big version of the song. What's awesome is that I've learned is that over the years, you've really embraced everything you've done in the business, and you still look 20 years younger than you were.
You know, the finest plastic surgeons in Hollywood.
Around
the clock. Make that happen.
Nice, nice. Tell us a little bit about the new album, Tip of the Hat to the Late Tom Petty. Michael, let's start with you.
I think it's our best. It kind of happened in two spurts. We recorded five songs about a year ago, and we're releasing them as videos, not really thinking in terms of a CD release. And then about, I guess, 6 months ago, we did a gig with G.E. Smith out on...
Oh, yeah.
And he really liked the song I Feel You that Kevin wrote, and he said, I've got some ideas. How about if I produce it? And we said, sure. So we booked the studio that he liked in right outside the Lincoln Tunnel, just in New Jersey, in Secaucus. Is that where it is? No, Weehawken. Sorry.
Okay.
And so it went well with the I Feel You, and the next day we had the studio booked to cut some more stuff, and he said, why don't I just hang around, which he did. So, you know, he helped us get the CD done, and it was really fun to have a different set of ears there, you know, a different aesthetic, coming from a totally different place than all of us are. And so we have this album that you know, is recorded, you know, half a year ago and half recently, and I think it all hangs together really well.
This is your eighth album. You know, Kev, what's the process like for you when you're putting together a new album? Like, you know, obviously there's a sound to what you do. So, you know, what kind of balance do you want on there as far as the songs that you write and choose to put on a new album?
I wish it had all that much planning, you know what I mean? I think it's, we don't really think too much about our sound, per se, and we don't really think too much about, you know, kind of a theme, necessarily, for an album, because we have two writers in the band, and because, there's a really, really wide variety of musical abilities within the guys that play with us. We kind of write the song, and then we let it go in a certain kind of direction. There's a song on there called The Garden, and it's got two musical elements that none of the other songs have. One is conga drums, and the other is a horn section. There's a song on there called Broken Glass, and it's got a kind of a drum loop, which is also something that we don't use in anything else. So it's really kind of we let the song sort of dictate the sound of the thing, and then we just, you know, kind of throw them in together and come up with an order and see what we're left with.
What about the instruments? Obviously, you know, you guys have gotten familiar on and off stage and probably tinkered with some different things. I mean, what have you kind of experimented with a little bit to add some new things? You mentioned the conga drums. Michael, what other things you guys have kind of played around with yourselves?
Well, one thing that's really neat is our keyboard player, Joe Manona, brought out his saxophone. He's quite an amazing musician. His first family of instruments are woodwinds. His second are brass, and his third are keyboards, which includes the fact that he can qualify as a church organist with, you know, with playing with the pedals with his feet and stuff.
Wow.
So I think that bringing the saxophone into the band is really cool, and we used it on a couple of the cuts in this record. And also we now have a song where we're all playing ukulele, so there's always new stuff, you know, coming in and new ideas, and we're playing this piece we call The Interlude, which is a cello piece that I wrote more in the style of what I would normally write as a composer, where everybody's reading music rather than doing head charts. And that leads into any number of cello songs, depending on the night, and if we, which adds a lot of variety. So every night we could go to any one of five different cello songs after we play this little interlude.
There's such a freedom to doing what you're doing. I mean, I like that you're bringing in some of the things that you do every day just to kind of shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really trying to do that because it always bothers me, that disconnect, as you asked that question before, between my life as a composer and my life as a singer-songwriter. And
right.
I like to keep things kind of connected.
Very cool. I always like to talk about a little of the charity things that you guys do. Kevin, you got a charity called 6 Degrees. You and your wife, Kira Sedgwick, and happy anniversary to you guys, by the way. The big 30. You guys are offering to have a chance of a rare evening in New York City with you, complete with a night of dinner and dancing, in order to raise funds. Tell me a little bit about that.
I've had this thing, 6degrees.org, for quite a few years. We've been in a lot of different iterations, but the fundamental concept of it is that you know, taking the idea of connectivity and trying to use it for good, for people that are out there in the world and in the field, you know, trying to make positive changes in the world or in their communities. And we're building out this new app that, without going into too much detail, will be a way that either celebrities or non-celebrities can kind of use the 6 degrees concept and the game to actually
put
some money or donations or whatever to something that they sort of care about. So the Omaze campaign, which is that kind of funny thing about coming to New York and having dinner and dancing with us, is a way to raise funds for 6 degrees to create this new app.
Awesome. And I heard Kira can kick your butt on the dance floor too.
She can.
That's awesome.
She leaves me in her dust.
That's awesome. Well, very cool. Again, Kevin Bacon and Michael Bacon, the Bacon Brothers, will be at City Winery on Thursday, July 12th. The 6:30 show is sold out, but the 9:30 show is still available. Tickets are available at citywinery.com. For more on the new album, Tom Petty's t-shirt, visit baconbrothers.com. That's BROS.com. If you'd like to see what's going on with this great foundation, 6 degrees, visit 6degrees.org. Kevin and Michael, thanks for taking the time this morning, and have a happy 4th to you and your families.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your help with the show. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, top stories are next on 720 WGN.